Welcome to episode 13 of season 5. And this is crazy because this episode is coming out on Friday the 13th. So,
oh my gosh, it is. I didn't even register that. Synchronicities.
But if you just joined, this is Maria. Sorry, I was reading Robin's name.
You had no idea.
This is Robin.
She's like, who am I?
This is Robin at a Tired Witch. No, I am Maria at Maria the Arcane everywhere. And I'm joined by our supreme goddess, Robin at a Tired Witch on Instagram. And yes, do we have a script at the very beginning that I was just like reading, like dead brained? Yes. But yeah. Anyways.
But you're right, okay? Hot women do not have to explain themselves, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. But yes, you should join us September 29th at 12:30 PST for our latest class, Tarot for Creativity, with Chelsea, Pip, and Mizzy. She just released a Tarot for Creativity book, and it's really good. Like, I got sent an early copy, and I'm just like really excited for this class because I'm all about using tarot for creativity. I think there's so many ways to like work with it, and I don't know, I'm very excited about the class.
Yeah, I'm excited. Well, we say that about every class, but I am genuinely excited about every class.
Me too. Well, we like planned it out and stuff. Of course I'm gonna be excited.
I know, it's true. Oh goodness. As a reminder, we are taking voicemail and email submissions for Coffee Talk Stories. If you'd like to leave us a voicemail, the phone number is 351-207-0799. There is a 3-minute cap to the voicemail, so just call back and we'll piece it all together if your story is too long. Or you can shoot us an email at submissions@coffeeandcauldrons.com. And as a reminder, those of you who join us on the Patreon library tier and up, you guys get the class. You get a backlog of 19 previous classes because I did count. And we got the Discord community, everything. And if you're curious about what that is, go listen to our last two coffee talks. We are not going to keep repeating it because I'm sure you guys are sick of hearing it.
Yeah. But it is a good place and you guys should join.
It is. It's really good. And it makes the podcast possible. So thank you everyone who is and has been a Patreon member. You are the cutest humans alive and we love you.
Yes, we do.
If you just joined us this week, every week we talk about upcoming lunar phases and how you can utilize those in your magical practice. For the record, this is not a check-in with your personal zodiac sign. This is just for people who utilize the zodiac sign in the lunar phase for their practice. Now, that being said, the nearest to us is going to be on September 17th. It is the full moon in Pisces, and it is also an eclipse. Full moons in Pisces are a really good time to do dream work and anything involving creativity and artistic expression. Because this specific full moon is also an eclipse, I recommend you pairing like the dream work, the creativity, the intuition, all those things with overall spiritual growth and healing. Mm-hmm. Eclipses kind of utilize every phase of the moon, including the full moon. They're very supercharged. Some people say to not use them at all. We're not going to get into that discourse. It's just, if this is something you choose to do, you can utilize all of the moon's phases during that time. It's kind of like a blue moon. It's very supercharged,
which I love very much.
Yeah. I really think that it's a good time to focus on that spiritual growth and healing, because those things not only pair with an eclipse really well, but it also pairs very well with the Pisces moon in general. I would do things like ritual baths for cleansing and closure. This is a good time to do cord cutting, which I know a lot of people maybe wouldn't think necessarily of a Pisces moon for cord cutting, but if we are doing healing and spiritual growth, sometimes that cord cutting can be to old habits, old ideas, and not like just people. Mm-hmm. And I would recommend in those cases doing ones with scissors, not with the two candle situation. Mm-hmm. Personal preference. We do have an article about that on Patreon if you want to read more on that specifically. But I do recommend iron scissors for that. And then you have your standard Pisces full moon stuff. Dream work. Doing ritual preparations for sleep that deal with getting messages from guides and just kind of downloading in general. Anything that might be intuitively inclined for you during this time. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, we're going to get into this in the next segment, or the main segment. But this time of year is also a really good time of year for guide messages, ancestor work, etc. So if you are going to do dream magic, this general period of time, not just this full moon, is a really good one for getting messages from guides.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What do you think?
So, like, I want to go back to, like, being scared of the eclipse. If you are worried about working with eclipse and you just don't work with it, you can literally wait until it's done and over and then start working with the full moon. I know people try to avoid it the entire night. It's like, just work with it after it's done eclipsing. Like, it's not that
big. And the full moon is on the 17th and the eclipse happens. The 100% full moon is on the 17th, but the full moon starts on the 16th. And ends on the 18th, mm-hmm. and the eclipse happens on the overnight of the 17th through the 18th, so you could simply just work with it on the 16th.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. But I do think, like, I do personally work with eclipses, and I think, like, we're even doing this, like, in the Discord. We're doing, like, a group ritual that's supposed to help, like, build up intuition. And I think working with the eclipse, especially the Pisces eclipse, will help you remove any obstacles when it comes to your intuition, as well as powering up your intuition. So we're, like, making, like, an intuition oil, which I'm very, very excited about. And I think even doing it while the eclipse is happening is, like, a great idea for me. If it's not for you, like, you're allowed your own perspective, but, and then, like, keeping it powered up outside, letting it go through, like, the whole phase of, like, you know, when it's small and getting larger again, just kind of, like, doing that whole, using that to reveal your intuition and to power it up. If that makes sense. I feel like I, you know.
To reveal the things unseen, the hidden beneath.
Exactly. Well, I really,
wait,
like,
hold on. Let's go to ChatGPT and let's find out what they would say about this. I'm not actually going to go to ChatGPT, but I can tell you it will be like unveiling the secrets from below using your own intuition.
No, like, I think Pisces is such a great and liminal sign. And as you said, working
liminal is such a good word for that. It is such a liminal sign. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, like, as you said, ancestor work, perfect. Like, chef's kiss, perfect time of year. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So good.
So, every podcast episode, we like to discuss some tarot. Like previous seasons, we've gone over individual meanings of the cards. We've gone over the whole sections in tarot, like the minor arcana, the major arcana, and like the aces, the ones, and so on and so forth. But this season, we're concentrating on themes we see in tarot and matching what we think matches that theme. But we thought that it would be a great way to learn and look for stories and cards. So it's just easier to interpret your own spreads. But anyways, this week, we thought we would kind of focus on what our main topic of discussion is. Cards that can represent ancestors and guides. So I picked for my first card, the High Priestess. I mean, the High Priestess is the liminal card, right? Like, she is one that is revealing, you know, the what is happening on the other side while remaining rooted on one side. What are you giggling about?
You said liminal again, and it made me, in my head, I thought of Pee Wee Herman. The word of the day!
Pee Wee Herman.
Sorry.
It is the word of the day, you know? Liminal is. And you're going to be hearing it for the rest of the season. Anyway.
Yee-haw!
But, so she likes to pop up in my readings when it probably is time to start working with guides and ancestors, like when I need to start reaching out for them for help and stuff like that, because it's such a big part of my practice. Like, being a witch is already liminal, but the whole point of, you know, like, you work with the other side a lot and you work with things, unseen forces and stuff. So she just kind of like invites you to start working with guides and ancestors and using, you know, and you both like working with each other in order to like help, like not only help them, but you where you are in your life currently. And then I chose the Three of Pentacles. I mean, this is like the work together card, you know. You don't have to do it all alone. Your guides and ancestors are here to help support you and to give you some helpful knowledge. And I mean, I don't know. I find my guides like super helpful, and they've definitely helped me like overcome a lot of obstacles and to stop getting caught in my own thoughts of what I should be doing. And, you know, they're just people that you go to when you need a little boost in your, just like towards your goals and towards your where you're putting your time and energy towards. Like, I feel like the biggest things that our guides, which I'll probably repeat in the main segment, but the biggest thing that our guides and ancestors want to do is to help us lead a full and fulfilled life and dismantle like generational trauma and all that, and just, you know, live our best lives, you know, the lives that they might not have been able to lead. So yes, working with them as part of your community, that's all what the Three of Pentacles means to me in like this instance. And then we come up on the Six of Cups. I view the Six of Cups a little bit differently, but I do still see the whole, you know, working with the past and concentrating on the past and reaching out towards the past in order, you know, to help yourself, especially when it comes to emotional situations, because the cups deal with like emotions and even our intuition. Like, you can work with your guides and stuff to help boost your intuition. But I also see this card as like the card of unconditional love, because there's children on it, and children love to give things from the heart. Like, there's no strings attached. Like, they'll literally be like, oh, here is this toy, mommy, you know, it's just for you. And they're like, no, love it. Like, they don't want you to give them
now,
anything else.
Kid.
And I think, you know, as I said, guides and ancestors, they just want us to lead like fulfilling lives. And a lot of the help that they give us is unconditional. There's no strings attached. They just really do want to see us thrive. And when this card pops up in readings for guides and ancestors, it's just an invitation to keep accepting, you know, all the help that they're willing to give. But how about you?
So my first card kind of bounces off of your Six of Cups, and that's the Empress. The Empress is this mother card, but she's the mother of everything. She's the mother of creativity. She's the mother of every single suit. She's just this ultimate mother. And while some of us might have and living mothers that we have awesome relationships with, we might have bad relationships with, etc., the Empress for me very much so comes in context to things that we need to pour into, right? That we need to nourish and give love to, etc., just like a mom. And when it of course depends contextually about what's going on in the spread as well, but it shows up as this message of hey, this is what you need to be loving right now. This is what you need to be putting your energy and care into. And that to me is very much so motherly advice. You know what I mean? I mean, I know that we see moms as like, this gendered role, but when we're talking about it from guide communication, I think mother becomes this catch-all term for any guide, any ancestor, any anything that has that care and compassion for us on an intimate level. Mm-hmm. And intimacy doesn't necessarily mean like familial relation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Does that make sense?
It does make sense. Actually, I had a client the other day, and we were talking about the Empress and uh-huh. how the word mother means so much. It means so much. It's not
it really
just
does.
Limited to like being, you know, the stereotypical mother. It's a mother.
Right.
There's mothers of everything.
It's a mother.
The mother.
The mother. So going off that, we have the Four of Cups. And the Four of Cups literally translates to the universe handing you a message. And in a lot of contexts, it means that you're not receiving that message, whether it's because you're not willing to hear it or you're missing the message. But it is telling us, hey, your guides, the universe, whomever you want to refer to it as, the liminal, word of the day. is handing you this message. Like, let's pay attention. Mm-hmm. Let's pay attention.
And accept it.
And accept it. That is, yes. Not just accept it, but be open to the fact that you might not understand everything in the way that you think you do. Does
yes.
that make sense?
Yes.
It's very
yes.
much so a know-it-all card, and it's like, actually, humble yourself, queen. and then the last one I picked is the Four of Swords, because the Four of Swords is, are you ready for it? A card of the liminal. It
yes.
is taking a rest. It's knowing when to take a break. And very specifically, this card, in my opinion, translates to kind of that dream work that we talked about. It is mm-hmm. being willing to download messages when we are not in a conscious state. It's mm-hmm. knowing when to, I keep saying the word download, and that is not typically in my like wheelhouse of words. So sorry, everyone. Sorry. But it is very much so a listening in times that we aren't typically prepared to listen. Mm-hmm. And just like in a mundane sense, it talks about taking a break, taking a nap, relax. It also talks about like letting our guard down to hear things in times when we normally are not paying attention.
Mm-hmm. It's time to slow down and listen. Absolutely.
Yeah. Get your listening ears on, like I tell my 3-year-old.
And do they listen? No.
Although he started to do this breathing exercise I've got him going like doing, which is great. When he gets frustrated, he goes and sits in a corner and he goes, and I'm like, yeah, buddy, regulate those emotions.
And they're like, I'm ready to download.
I am listening.
Oh no.
So earlier this episode, we did talk about the fact that we would like to talk to you guys this episode about working with ancestors or guides. This is a liminal time of year. But it is a perfect time of year. You might hear a lot of people talk on the interweb about the veil thinning. I've got my own personal beliefs on the thinning of the veil, so I'm not going to get into that necessarily right now. I don't know. We'll see. But this is a good time of year for that. It doesn't matter really what cultural background that you come from across the world in this time of year, as in autumn, if you are a Southern Hemisphere person. Mm-hmm. Listener, it's the time of year when we kind of cherish, honor, and remember our ancestors, our guides, the people who came before us, and the people that we lost. And because of that, Marie and I want to talk to you a little bit about working with said ancestors or guides.
Yeah.
So Maria, what, in your opinion, qualifies someone as an ancestor or guide?
honestly, I think people limit their stuff of what defines an ancestor and guide way too much. An ancestor or guide could represent so many things. It doesn't have to be blood relation. It could be like just someone
share the blood of the battlefield.
Sorry.
Exactly. No, that's true. Like the battlefield of life, right?
It's the full expression is the blood of the battlefield is thicker than the water of the womb. So
love that.
Anyway. That, you know, when people say blood is thicker than water, they get, it's actually confused.
Two opposing things. Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, that doesn't surprise me. But anyways. But yeah, it's any spirit really that has connected to our energy and wants to help us and work with us. And I think even like land spirits or house spirits or forest spirits, they can be a guide. Like, you know, you can still like reach out to them and stuff like that. And you know, there's a lot of people, wait, are we going over this on another one? Oh yeah, we will later, but you know, there's just different, so many different interpretations of what a guide and ancestor is. And don't limit yourself to thinking it just has to be blood relations. You know, because some of us do have like problematic ancestors that like, you know, that you might not even want to work with. You know, like, and that's completely valid. So don't like limit to yourself thinking that's the only way to connect with the other side. How about you? How would you define a guide and ancestor?
Well, kind of just bouncing off of what you were saying there, I also think that one, I think it's super valid to not want to work with certain ancestors. There's a lot of reasons for that, that somebody might not want to. But I also think that people hold their ancestors to a standard of understanding that once they have passed, they no longer are able to grow and understand. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like,
no, because that's my belief too. I have the same belief.
Yeah,
like our guides just grow.
I think that when you're dead, you have this this all knowing that kind of is a clarity for you. Otherwise, how can we believe that they are going to help us if they don't have an understanding of how to help, right? For example, let's say you had a non-problematic ancestor who was just this incredible person, and you need a message from your guides on how to handle a work-related thing, right? How the hell are you going to expect your ancestor to know how to handle a computer when they like were pooping in an outhouse, right? And it's we are able to ask them these things because there is an all-knowing there. There is a sort of healing, if you want to call it. It's so hard to contextualize. But I am a firm believer that even if somebody was problematic in life and did bad things, that doesn't mean that their spirit still holds on to that energy.
Yeah,
that's just my belief.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think a lot of spirits also have regret for the way that they led their lives. I've experienced it, like reaching out to spirits before, where they do have regret. And, you know, like, I do think when they get to the other side, they do see like a, you know, a playthrough of their life. And you're like, well, I could have handled that better. Yeah, and I think, I mean, are there, like, lack of a better term, like, baneful spirits out there who just refuse to grow? Of course, like, 100%. But I do think a lot of people do end up regretting when they go to the
next. Yeah.
But I'm sorry, I took over your spot. Go ahead.
No, I'm glad we talked about that, because I do think it's something that a lot of people, I want to say misunderstand, in my opinion, and that is not to invalidate anybody's feelings or opinions on not wanting to work with specific ancestors. You're so entitled to that. You're entitled to it. But I do think that if this is like a nondescript ancestor that you don't really have feelings about and you're on the fence I think it's important to kind of keep that in your back pocket. And again, you can continue to choose not want to work with them, and that's super valid.
Yeah, agree.
Yeah, I don't want to invalidate anybody's beliefs on that. I just want to acknowledge both sides of it.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm getting super off track. I don't remember what the question was.
No.
Oh, ancestor accounts. In terms of what qualifies somebody as an ancestor or guide, I am a big believer of just ancestors that are also guides. They're one and the same. And I believe that our ancestors are our blood relation, but they are also anybody who has passed who has had a direct impact on our life today. And that doesn't necessarily mean that you knew them. That doesn't let you know what I'm saying. Like, for example, there are artists who I'm not going to name that have had a major impact on like my outlook and understanding and being seen in the world who have passed. And I consider them a part of my ancestor wheel because they are a part of who I am.
Yeah, no, that makes total sense. And like, I have like the same sort of things about like other, you know, yeah, I really do people like get hung up on specifics, which leads us into the next topic of discussion is what if you don't know who your ancestors and guides are? What if you're adopted? What if you're just like your family didn't record anything?
In some people's cases, they didn't have the choice to record anything.
Exactly.
For a whole variety of reasons, especially in America. Yeah. How too
especially
true is that?
Especially in America.
In my opinion, when we look to ancestors and guides in those scenarios, we look to the community we know. And then our cultural background. This is one of those times where for a lot of people, those like ancestry.com or like DNA things become really meaningful because it gives them a footing of what their ancestors might have been. It gives them a direction to kind of point towards. I'm not a really big fan of those things because I sit on a place of privilege of understanding what my cultural background is, but I'm not a fan of them because I feel like it also leads into the discourse of like quantum eugenics. And people kind of accidentally and inadvertently recreating, race wars? I don't know how to phrase that properly.
They were probably already doing that before.
That is true, but it gives them, like, there's the entire group of Nazis out there that are also pagans that like basically use genealogy tests to be like, I'm the right kind of white. So I'm not a really big fan of that when it comes to magic for me personally, but I also think it is a very valid experience for somebody who does not have a knowledge of their ancestral background to give them a direction to point to for guides and ancestors, you know what I mean? Give us a direction. Tell me where I should maybe be looking for to connect to.
No, that makes total sense. And I think a lot of people in Europe just don't understand that there's a lot of Americans that don't know where they came from due to specific things like happening. And that's why they start focusing on, you know, being like, oh, my family's from here. And it gives them like, you know, that solid footing they've been missing. Like, they're like, I found a piece of myself because, you know, I'm where I'm not supposed to be. But I do think that if you don't know who your ancestors and guides are, that is okay. Like, if you don't know names, I don't know specific names for some of my ancestors that I work with. But the way that I, like, work with them is that I read tarot with them. I open myself up like during meditations for visitations and stuff like that. And you don't have to be like, oh, this is my, you know, my great, 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 great grandmother. You could just be like, oh, you know, they are connected to me because, you know, they represent my family tree in the past. You know, you don't have to have a specific thing. And if you want to leave out like offerings and stuff for these, like people that you don't know specifics of, you know, like there's so many like safe bets. Coffee, water, and like, you know, something you baked that was from the
cigarettes.
Heart. Yeah, because let's be honest.
Let's be honest. Pre 1995, they were smoking. They were smoking. At least some. Listen, I don't know a single person, honestly, even in our generation, and we're both Gen Alpha. We're very young. We're not even out of high school. Very sad. No, but like, I don't know a single person, even in our generation, who isn't like, God, I love a cigarette when I'm drunk. Tell me I'm wrong.
Robin, shush. Anyways.
Because she knows I'm right.
Oh, yeah. No, I crave
them
all
the time.
She loves
a good cigarette.
I crave
them
all the
time. Oh, God, I miss smoking.
I miss smoking.
Sorry. Cancel me. I miss smoking. I haven't smoked in like 10 years.
Yeah.
But I miss it every day. I think about it.
Oh, I think
about it. The way big nicotine is in my brain.
Yeah. And it's even been like 17 years for me, and I still crave them. I still crave them. Maybe even 16.
I'll be like, God, I could really go for a cigarette. And then I'm like, no. You don't do that anymore, Robin.
Yes, but
back to our topic at hand.
Speaking of, like, what are some ways we can honor them? Like, how do you honor your guys?
So, as you know, I work with spirits and death a lot. It's my primary focus. So this is an all year round thing for me, but I keep a handful of things on my altar specifically as a big general. Right? It's a doesn't matter who it is. This is a big general that everybody would like. One, it's a glass of water. I consider visiting me a long journey. Wouldn't you want a sip of water after a long journey? Mm-hmm. Water also is something that I'm going to use the word attracts, but it's for lack of a better term. It attracts spirit communication. It allows the flow of communication, etc. Mm-hmm. I also keep a light at my altar. Some people keep lanterns. I don't think a lantern is safer than a candle. So mm-hmm. I choose to keep a candle. But it's like, again, the long journey. It is finding the light at the end of the tunnel. They're coming to me. It gives them a pinpoint direction of where I want it to be. Mm-hmm. I also leave them offerings of sugar. Anything with sugar in it. So cookies, pastries, cake. I leave offerings of coffee, cinnamon coffees specifically when working with like spirits on a more specific and refined manner. And then I leave things like whiskey and tobacco because, again, pre-1995, find me a pilgrim who didn't want a cigarette and a glass of whiskey. And I'll find you a liar. Even if they didn't smoke, they would take a drink. Even if they wouldn't drink, they would take a smoke. Everybody had vices, okay? I also find playing cards to be a good vice for that as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What about you?
So, as I mentioned in the other section, is that, like, I think the biggest thing that we can do to honor our guides and stuff is to live our lives to the fullest and to listen to, like, what we need to do in order to take care of ourselves, whether that's, like, breaking generational curses or, like, going after your goals or, like, you know. Just, yeah. You know, as I said, living your life to the fullest and like doing stuff so you do lead an enjoyable life. So when you do pass on, you become like that spirit that will additionally help like your, you know, whoever you decide to help. But so some of the ways I honor mine, like I do honor my grandma, my grandpa quite a bit. And we like Okay, so in my kitchen, I have pictures of my grandmother near the stove because she loved to cook. She loved to, like, make things. And I just have so many great memories of hanging out with her in the kitchen. And, like, yeah, and it was, you know, I'd watch, like, cartoons in there, and we would just hang out and chat. But speaking of movies, my grandparents also like to watch movies and stuff. So I'll watch, like, specific movies during the year and just think of them as I'm watching the movie. Like, mm-hmm. my grandpa's favorite movie was The Ghost of Mr. Chicken, and we're coming up on the year, like, time of year where we watched it together.
I love that.
Watch it and think of him. And then also, like, so not only did we like to watch movies and stuff growing up, but we also listened to music a lot. And, like, my grandparents were janitors at a beauty school, and they would just turn up full volume, like, 1950s, 60s music, and it would just, like, play, and I would be dancing and stuff as they worked, and we would all, like, sing together. And so, like, I turn on that stuff all the time, and I think of them, and I dance and I sing, and it's just, like, a way for me to connect with them, and I feel them, like, during those moments.
Going off of that, the song, oh god, I can't remember, is it Down in the West Texas? Oh god, what is that song called? That's our song for that. And is I Fell in Love with a Mexican Girl. What is that fucking song? That is our family song.
Oh, that's so cute.
It's El Paso. That's what it is, by Marty Robbins. That's our family, like kind of going off what you're saying about ancestor. Yeah. Like, that's our family song for that.
Yeah. And, like,
my grandfather used to sing it to my grandmother.
That's so cute.
And that's so cute.
So much. Oh, that's adorable.
And then Frank found it on his own. Like, he didn't know that backstory. He found it on his own and started singing it to me. And I was like, what is going on? So, anyway.
That's so cute. Oh, I love that. That makes my heart happy. But I'm just like you. I set out offerings and stuff like that. Coffee, water, and specific snacks like Diet Coke for my grandma. And then I'd light a candle. But it's a lot of the stuff is just general for whoever decides to visit and stay a while. And yeah. And that's like what I try to do. Obviously, there's a lot more to it, but those are the specifics that I do quite a bit.
Okay, so our last question is, how do you feel is best to communicate and receive messages from said ancestors or guides?
So, the most of the time I use tarot to communicate with my guides and ancestors. Like, I'll literally have full conversations with them. I'll just, like, sit on the couch and shuffle my cards and be like, you know, grandma, how are you? And it'd be like, show something. And then I'll be like, if I'm watching a movie, I'll even be like, what do you think of the movie so far? Like,
that's so cute. That's it.
We watch movies and stuff. So, like, sometimes I invite her and my grandfather to kind of watch movies with me. But yes, I find tarot's very reliable for me talking with them. And sometimes they're, like, not just my grandma and grandpa, but they're a lot more blunt. And I'll just, like, see a spirit or I'll hear something. And I'm like, oh, well, shit. Okay.
You made your point.
But those are my favorite. And also dream magic, too, because I see them a lot in my dreams. And I remember specific things, like, that are talked about and spoken about. And that's usually the way that I do it. How about you?
I'm a big fan of omen walks. I was actually literally talking to somebody else about this today.
Yes, yes.
I was literally talking to somebody else about this today because I gave it to somebody as advice to do, and then they wanted reassurance on it, which is fine, great, awesome. But omen walks are when I sit down and I open myself up to messages from my guides or my ancestors. Usually it's somebody specific, and I'm like, I am wondering if this is a thing, and it's for yes, no type answers. Are you here? Or I need help with this. Do you think this is going the way I wanted to, et cetera, et cetera. And then I go for a walk, like hot girl walk, a little 30-minute walk. And I say, on said walk, I usually will say out loud on the walk what the question is. And it depends on the importance of the question, the time limit that I give them to respond to me. So usually it's on the walk, but if it's for like really big, important life things, like moving, getting married, having a baby, whatever, I give it 24 hours and I ask to have a sign sent to me that is so specific. So like, I'll go on a walk and I'll be like, is Maria a stinky butthole? If that is the case, I want to see something hot pink on this walk, which is in the mountains. So that is not going to come up in nature, right? Like Barbie pink. And if the answer is yes, Maria is a stinky butthole, I might see a piece of litter that's hot pink. I might walk across another hiker who's wearing a hot pink shirt or shoes or friggin' whatever, right? And that becomes my sign that the answer is yes. And I'm really into those. That's usually my number one form of communication, because I also feel like the walk itself is putting in energy to my intention.
I love the analogy.
And it's crazy because I did a hot girl walk like that about if Maria was a stinky bozo, and my guide said yes. It's sick. I was like, take a shower, bitch.
Fine. Jeez. I'm just trying to be natural.
Yeah, well, naturally get some lye on that body, girl.
Lye?
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. She doesn't smell, you guys. She doesn't smell. She smells really good, actually. She's not holding a gun to my head while I say this.
No. She's doing it for YouTube.
Tell them. Tell them I don't stink, Robin.
Oh gosh. But, yeah.
Oh goodness.
Yeah.
That's hopefully, and then if you guys want to talk about this more, let us know and we'll talk about it some more. But I think that's pretty
maybe
good.
Maybe we can like talk about more of it in a coffee talk or something. I'm sure we'll go over it a lot in coffee talks heading in the spooky season because
We're gonna read ghost stories next week.
Yes. And this one visitors become way more visity. Yeah. So yeah.
Because the veil is thinning. So Maria, what's stirring your cauldron this week?
Off camera. Oh, I'm going to tell you.
That was so saucy.
Thank you. I got like really in there.
But what's stirring my cauldron is now it's time for autumn foraging. It is my harvesting. But I like to gather a lot of different things around this time of year, and goldenrod being one of them. Like, it's everywhere right now. And I've already said on Instagram, I just want to go out and like cut a bunch and like make a goldenrod bouquet because they're so beautiful.
Ooh, like, that would be pretty. Do that.
Right? And then, like, drying it out and just using it for spells and stuff during winter. But I also like to get acorns around this time of year. And, yes, like, this, though, guys, if you're getting acorns, dry them out. Like, literally put them in the oven and cook them, like, the lowest temperature for, like, a good hour.
Otherwise, that's going to rot.
Oh, not only is it going to rot, you'll get flies in your house because flies will literally, like, yeah, lay babies on them.
I have so many flies in my house right now. I'll get into that in a minute.
But, yeah, there's just, like, a lot of different, especially, oh, I want to get, like, a bunch of, like, autumn leaves and, like, crinkle them up and put them in a jar. Because I find they're such good for spells, like, when you're burning away and want something to, like, fall away and to change and transition. Even using autumn leaves for that is, like, perfect. And they're so pretty anyways. And, like, having a whole jar of, like, crunched up, like, different colored, like, leaves. Yes. Yes, please.
Do you imagine how that would smell? Like rain.
Yeah.
Ugh. 10 out of 10.
Yeah. But yeah, like, I'm just really looking forward to autumn in general. Like, it's going to be amazing.
So, Robin, what is not stirring your cauldron this week?
Thank you so much for asking.
Oh, you're so welcome.
I have two things that are not stirring my cauldron. The first one I forgot about until Maria mentioned flies last segment. This happens every goddamn year here. Every year, but this year is so bad. The, like, when it turns, like, that last little bit of summer heat, the flies get out of control here, and for whatever reason, our house is infested with flies beyond any measure we've ever had. I'm going fucking insane. I have put fly traps out. We have, without exaggeration, two of the sticky traps, one of those, like, outdoor fly catcher things, mm-hmm. and we have three of the light ones in our house, and I've been spraying fly deterrent, and you wouldn't know. I am going crazy. I, like, listen, this was, a girl with OCD should simply not have to live like this. I should simply not have to live like this. I'm going crazy. I cleaned our entire house, like, with hydrogen peroxide scrubbing the walls. I was going crazy. No difference. Literally no difference. The flies were gone for about 30 minutes. And then they were back. So that's the first thing not stirring my cauldron. The second thing not stirring my cauldron is I went to the cemetery to talk to my grandma because her and I needed to have a little chat. No, she's not in trouble. She's great. But I just missed her and I want to talk to her and I needed to bring her fresh flowers and all that. And when I got there, her and my grandfather are buried. They're cremated and buried in a plot. Okay. Mm-hmm. And my grandmother's whole thing, what she did when she died, even, was she would pick up pine cones in the yard.
And it
was
like, I love that story.
It's like neurotic. There would, like, be one that would fall on the grass and she'd be like, well, got to go back outside and clean it. Her plot had no pine cones on it, but there was pine cones on every plot around it. And so I burst into tears. I was just, like, sobbing in the graveyard like such a freak. Not an actual freak. Mourning is valid and real. Okay. But, yeah, I literally was sobbing, like, ugly sobbing in the graveyard because of that.
Oh, that's so sad. I'm so sorry.
Yeah. So, anyway, that's what's not stirring my cauldron.
So sweet. I love how they let us know that they're still here in, like, very unique ways. Unique to them. And it's, like, it just makes you think of them and love them so much. And you're like,
you know how I'm, you, of course, know, but I'm writing my third manuscript, which is on death witchery. Mm-hmm. And I just got done, like, a week ago writing a whole section about her specifically and her grave. Because I was... The it's in context of talking about dying. And so I had already had her very fresh on my brain. And, like, I get there and, like, it just completely threw me off. I was like, I was the crying in the club meme.
Maybe she was letting you know that she appreciates your book and what you're doing.
I would be interested to hear what she would think about that. But on, like, a more... like, on a real sit-down conversation level. You know what I mean?
Trying to whip out that tarot deck.
But I mean more than that. I mean, like, actually getting to, like, hold her hand and stuff. Like, I miss my grandma.
Same. Yeah. It's so hard. Ugh. Yeah.
Anyway, now I'm going to start crying if we keep talking about this. So. If you just joined us this week, every week we talk about creators that we are loving right now. This could be artists, podcasts, books, Instagrams, anything that we are vibing with. These are not paid for ads. This is just stuff Maria and a listener really is vibing with and thinks that you guys might enjoy. So that being said, Maria, who are you digging this week?
So I am digging, they're at Kate Schrodinger. I think it's
Schroeder Ceramics. Schroeder? It's Schroeder. Ceramics. The word is Schroeder.
There's a lot of vowels.
Hey everybody,
in there, okay?
It's Schroeder. It's Kate Schroeder.
It's so funny because the last name is definitely German. I should know better. But anyway. Yeah,
it's also like a million vowels. So
yeah.
We see you, Kate.
But she makes the cutest little incense burners. They look like chimneys, okay? Like, they look like a little fireplace with a chimney attached, and you can burn, like, cedar or, like, you know, like, any trees that you find in it, and you create, like, a little fireplace. It is so cute and adorable.
That's really cute.
Yeah, they're really cute. And they're like, they're made to look kind of like those miniature pieces, you know what I mean? Like that people make those miniature kitchens and stuff, but they look like actual like fireplaces that you can find in people's houses. I just think they're very cute.
Literally so cute. She does like a mid-century modern fireplace that's like Nordic inspired. That so cute. So
cute.
They're
adorable.
They really are. Mine this week is a creator called Books with JC, but specifically, it's like a miniature leaf book. You know how Crescent and Craft does the shell book? Stop. That is our listener submission, which is not Books with JC. That is Y Street Studio. Sorry. Mine is Books with JC. I'll get back to that. I want to stick to what I'm talking about. Y Street Studio is who I'm talking about. Sorry. Crescent Craft does the shell books. This person made clay leaf miniature book. It's like 1 inch tall. She like rolls out a leaf with clay and then makes little tiny pages. It's like a book for fairies. And that's our listener submission, not my one. I got sidetracked, but it is so freaking cool. Like 10 out of 10. Do you see it on her page?
Yes, it's adorable.
So good. As soon as somebody sent us that, I was like, I'm crying and throwing up. We have to have that.
Yes.
So mine is Books with JC, which is a book account. Mm-hmm. But she does things that are all focused on like spooky themes and gives recommendations of like on those topics. So it'll be like books that remind you of this horror movie or book recommendations based off of your favorite Haunting of Hill House character. Or if you like this vibe, here's some books that you'll like. And they're all like horror books or horror smut or dark romance, like all kind of that genre. And so far she's not missed. Any of the books I've gotten off of her recommendations have been 10 out of 10.
Though I will say, books that feel like practical magic, Spells for Forgetting did not feel like practical magic.
I have not picked witchy books. I have not picked witchy books.
But I do agree with Wayward was a very good one.
I'm very much living for it, and I think it's a great account. So if you want some book inspo, go there. And don't forget that if you have got a creator, artist, podcast, whatever that you think that we should share with everyone, shoot us a DM, shoot us an email, whatever, and we're doing our best to share as many as we can.
Yes.
Thank you all so much for joining us this week. We hope to see you again Friday, September 20th for our Coffee Talk episode, or September 27th for the 14th episode of Season 5, which will have Christine Blystone of Flower Magic, which is going to be very exciting. If you have been a subscriber on Patreon to the boxes, you might recognize that title from an Oracle deck we sent out 3 months ago. You can keep an eye out on our socials, or you can head to our website, coffeeandcauldrons.com, to find out more information and see what we're up to. And don't forget to join us on September 29th at 12:30 Pacific Standard Time for our latest class on Tarot for Creativity with Chelsea Pippin Mizzi.
Yeah, you gotta join it. But additionally, our Patreon Magical Beginnings offers our special 25-minute part 2 episode, a huge library of articles about witchcraft, a Discord community full of fun events, a lot of events, and discussions.
A lot of so many events.
Yeah, so many events. And we even have a tier that offers one-on-one conversations with Robin and myself.
Yeah. So please, if you are loving our sexy, sensual, chef's kiss voice, take a moment to review us from wherever you're tuning in from, whether that is Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or you're watching us on YouTube or somewhere else. We love reading your reviews and rating us with 5 stars, but really rating us at all helps us to be seen by others. So thank you to everyone who already has and everyone who will in the future. We appreciate you.
Yeah, we do. And again, this is Coffee and Cauldrons
with Robin from Out of Tired Witch Everywhere.
And I'm Maria from At Maria the Arcane Everywhere.
All right, ready?
Yeah.
One, two.